Hello everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, and this week it's my great pleasure to introduce another JTET debutant, all the way from Puerto Rico. It's Victor Arroyo. Hi Victor, how are you?
Hi James, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here and get my first JTalk Extra Time cap.
Yeah, it's very exciting to have you on, so thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Before we get into talking about last weekend's games, I think it would be quite interesting if you could tell me and the listeners a bit about how you got into the J League and which team you support and why.
Oh, of course. All right. So, yeah, my name is Victor Arroyo, born and raised in Puerto Rico, the land of rum, sun and fun. Basically, I went to Japan right after I graduated university, and I went to the city of Kanazawa in about 2017, and I really fell in love with the city. And the third time that I visited Japan in 2018, I went to Kanazawa again, and I actually got stuck there from a typhoon, and I couldn't go to Hiroshima. So the concierge guy was like, hey, do you want to just go to like a local football match? It's like on later today. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? Like, I don't have anything better to do and I can't really leave. So I thought it'd be a pretty good idea to go. And that match actually ended up being a Zweigen match. It was Zweigen versus Fagiano Okayama. A 1-0 loss, by the way. Very disappointing. But the concierge guy actually got me seated behind the goal with the supporters. So for me, it was a really interesting experience. I had a really great time. Everybody was like super, super nice. And that was my first taste of the J League. I think I'd heard of it before. I think when Shinji Kagawa went to play in the Premier League, and I was like, oh, wow, Japan, I guess, has like a really good league if they have players like this. But I never really watched a game until then. And ever since then, I've been a huge fan of Zweigen, and I've kept up with them all the time. And I basically found JTalk Extra Time through Twitter. Just I was trying to find people who talked about Kanazawa stuff in English. I ended up on your page, and one thing led to another, and you know, here I am now today.
Yeah, all right, that's really interesting, thanks.
Yeah, of course.
And it's interesting that your match day experience was against Okayama, because unfortunately, and we can't hold it off any longer, we need to get it over and done with. We have to talk about last weekend's match, Fagiano Okayama against Zweigen Kanazawa. Now, going into this match, Okayama had not scored for four matches. Kanazawa were unbeaten in four. And in the last five games between these teams, there hadn't been more than one goal. So I think it's fairly obvious what was going to happen. Okayama took the lead in the 6th minute through Haruka free header from a corner. In the 7th minute, Sho Hiramatsu hit the post for Kanazawa, but then Yasutaka Yanagi out-jumped and out-muscled Honoya Shoji in the 10th minute from another corner to make it 2-0. And then a few minutes after that, Okayama had a header which hit the post, and then Stefan Mork's shot hit Zweigen defender Daisuke Matsumoto's arm. He got a yellow card. It was a penalty, but fortunately for us, Thiago Alves skied it. And Kanazawa came into the game a bit after that, and Masamichi Hayashi pulled one back in the 26th minute after a very nice passing move. Unfortunately, that was as good as it got for Kanazawa, because in the 34th minute, Yudai Tanaka dispossessed Keita Fujimura, Thiago Alves passed, and Mork scored to make it 3-1. 5 minutes later, Hiramatsu lost the ball in midfield. Thiago Alves did another pass, and Han Aegwon scored to make it 4-1. And then in first half stoppage time, Daisuke Matsumoto conceded another penalty with a soft, unnecessary push on Mork, which Thiago Alves scored. So it was 5-1 at half time. The only action in the second half of note was Daisuke Matsumoto getting a second yellow card on the hour mark for a completely unnecessary obstruction of Han Aegwon. So it finished Okayama 5, Kanazawa 1. Victor, what happened?
Oh, man. It was a tough watch, especially if you're waking up at 5 a.m. to watch it. It was not a pretty match for us. I felt like you know, even though they scored both of those goals really early in the first 10 minutes, we didn't look that out of place, you know. We were doing sort of well, but then at some point, Thiago Alves just realized that he was Thiago Alves, and Fujimura just could not, like, stop him. Nobody could stop him, honestly. He kind of just did whatever he wanted out there. He was just so fast, so strong. He dribbled past guys. He really created a lot, especially in the, you know, in the second half of the first half, right? Like, the last 25 minutes or so, he really turned on. And you know, the fact that he missed that penalty was kind of insane, because, you know, you even heard the commentators say, like, oh, Mizurashi, like, that's so rare. That, like, rarely does he bottle an opportunity like that, right? He's very clinical when it comes to his penalties. So, you know, they realistically should have won 6-1, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we kind of got away with that one. but, yeah, you know, we went for this, which we've been trying out more, which is nice. We went kind of for this 4-4-2, like, diamond formation with Fujimura kind of sitting out back and kind of being, like, the playmaking eyes for everybody. But, yeah, it just seemed like they would just find a way to overload one of the sides. And they knew that once they beat Fujimura and Thiago Alves gets a one-on-one, like, he's going to make it, right? Mauk too, like, he was, like, really, really impressive as well. Like, especially later on in the second half, you know, his goal was great. And, yeah, Thiago was just finding everybody, you know. At some point, we were just doubling up on him, and, you know, we just had bodies trying to swarm him. And, obviously, he got those two great assists off. And I think one of the things that struck me out the most was just how, like, happy and how, like, the camaraderie that Okayama, like, really, really had. They just, everybody was congratulating each other. Everybody was, like, in a good mood. They seemed, like, very together. Like, there was a lot of communication. Specifically Yanagi, Yasutaka Yanagi, he was chirping the entire time, telling people where to go. Like, he really seemed like he commanded that back line. And that was just really impressive to see. And, you know, he even got in on a goal, which is, you know, great for him, because he, you know, he really deserves it. He's always really happy to see, you know, his teammates score. But yeah, it's very, very interesting for sure. But yeah, I think they just figured out how to beat us. And I think it was a tough game for Matsumoto. I think, you know, he's not bad at that center back position, but his decision making is questionable sometimes. Like, I wouldn't call him a dirty player, I wouldn't call him not a dirty player.
Yeah,
you know, he gets away with some holds. He'll grab a guy's arm every now and then, you know, during some plays. Like, you know, he's a little chippy, I think is probably the right term, right? I don't think he's out to hurt anybody, but he's out to get any advantage he can get. And yeah, today he just kind of, you know, showed that, you know, sometimes that decision making costs us. I think it's another problem we have is you know, Nagamine is, like, probably one of the best crossers we have on the team. I mean, you know, he got that assist off for us you know, in the match, but defensively he has, like, a long way to go. Sometimes he misreads situations and he presses maybe a little too high when he should have held back a little more, especially because Riku Matsuda is, like, pushing a lot on the right side, right? Like, he's a fullback who Yanagashita seems to just, like, let go and say, all right, go for it. So, and he's great, you know, I love Riku Matsuda defensively. I mean, a top three right back in J2, right? You know, and I think probably number one, I think, in tackles or interceptions, or top three around there. So he's really, really impressive at that position. But yeah, I just wish he would think a little sometimes before he would try some of those crazy crosses of his. But yeah, I just think that our formation probably wasn't the right choice. And I think our more traditional 4-4-2, we have two traditional center midfielders and then kind of a right midfielder, left midfielder that kind of pushes up a little more on the wing, sort of in that in-between where it kind of shifts from a 4-4-2 to a 4-2-4. I think that's kind of where our bread and butter is, right? And I think it just showed because we got cut up today. I think that's what happened, you know.
Yeah, the I was going to ask you actually about the new midfield setup, because for the first 5 years of Yanagishita's time here, it's just been a flat 4-4-2, and now not at the start of this season, but a little bit after about a month or so, started using this diamond for the attack, but in defence we're still a flat midfield four. But I think the problem in this match, and also in the Sendai match that we lost 4-1, is that if you get dispossessed, we're not set up to defend properly, because if it's it seems like it's quite often Fujimura who gets dispossessed, and he's the last midfielder. So after that, it's just the centre backs, because the full backs are pushing up quite high. I think they're both told to, Matsuda and Nagamine, both told to push up. And that's, I mean, in the Sendai match, Fujimura was dispossessed for one of the goals, and he also stopped tracking back. For the Yamagata game as well, he stopped tracking back, and there was a man free who scored the equaliser.
Yeah.
He had a bad. I don't want to. You know, just criticize him for Saturday, because everyone pretty much had a bad game from what I saw. But I think it shows his importance to Kanazawa and to the system. But I wonder if he's going to be given a rest. Be dropped, because his form recently has not been great, but I'm pleased that we've tried this new midfield shape, because the last year, you know, something had to change. And also I think I agree with what you said about Nagamine. He's a really exciting player, and he's really good at bombing forward and putting crosses in. But yeah, sometimes his decision, he likes a risky pass, I think, and sometimes that is not appropriate. And sometimes he'll get caught out in position. And I think Okayama, we're targeting him because he's very inexperienced. He's only in his first full year. But was there anything good from a Kanazawa perspective from this game that you could see?
I think there's probably two things I can point out that I think I kind of like. The good thing about this formation is it really gives Shimada like the room to do what he likes to do best, which is just kind of roam and choose a side to overload. He's really great because he can play really kind of, I would say, five or six positions for us realistically if we needed him to, right? He really is that versatile, and really anywhere in the midfield he can kind of get the job done, even as a striker if you're really desperate. But I think, you know, him being the number 10, ironically, in a number 10 role, you know, it really does suit him, because he can kind of just go wherever the ball is and create that way. So that's, I think, a positive that I see from this. I think Shimada and Hayashi have been finding each other a lot lately, which is a nice, cool little partnership that's been developing, I think, like this past month or so. So that's always really good to see. And yeah, I guess also like just seeing Nagamine, just seeing that we have, and Matsuda too, just knowing that we have two really good fullbacks that are young, that are going to develop, that are going to get better, gives me, I guess, hope for the future, right? Just knowing that, like, well, at least those are two positions that I feel that, you know, we are elite in compared to other J2 teams, right? We don't have the biggest budget. We are, quote unquote, maybe a prefectural level team, right? We're not one of the big city boys or whatever with lots of cash to spend or flaunt. But, you know, picking up both of those guys have, you know, they've been great pickups. So I'm really happy about that, I guess.
Yeah, good. And I guess the other bright spot was, A, that goal was really, really good. We scored a really good goal.
Beautiful.
After the, I think it was four changes at halftime, four substitutions. And then Having to play the last half an hour with just 10 men, but well, not to concede. I mean, Okayama probably eased off quite a lot because they were 5-1 up, but not to concede anymore.
To keep a small victory in itself.
Was probably a positive, but let's move on from this match because I've had enough of it. But I'd like to get your thoughts on Kanazawa's season so far. What you think has been particularly good, or anything that you think needs work?
Right. Well, I guess this is the part where this podcast becomes a Kanazawa propaganda podcast.
Skip forward.
So this is my personal Zweigen mid-season grades. So in team position relative to where we are right now, I think we're 11th right now in the table. I'm super stoked about that. You know, if anybody would have told me at the beginning of the season that we would have been 11th nearly halfway through the season, I probably would have laughed at them. And it's not that I don't have faith in my team. It's just that I just think that the J League is really that good. There really are so many good teams. I mean, Akita's been a huge surprise this season. They've been really successful. Verdy's fallen off and is, you know, bottom mid table, but they're still a very, very talented team. Probably more talented than us, but we're still higher up on the table. So I would say Yanagashita's like probably overachieved with the squad that he's been given so far. There's obviously, I think, a big gap in talent between like the top four clubs and like everybody else in J2, right? The kind of like always fighting for promotion clubs and then the, you know, everybody else, I guess. But, you know, and it's crazy because even when the J-Preds were coming out, I saw a few people put, Kanazawa going down, right? And I remember. But I didn't think we were that bad. I knew we were better. I think, if anything, I was very skeptical about Shirai. I was like, oh, I don't know, backup goalkeeper. Like, we probably could do better. But, like, if anything, he's been my player this season, right? Like, you kind of mentioned it in the preseason podcast, like, you know, this guy's a very, very good player. He was just behind somebody who was even better, right? I always get to thinking of that mentality of like, well, you know, if once you're at that age and you get supplanted, like there's probably no going back, right? You're kind of going to be in that Ben Foster role of, you know, the veteran backup, you know what I mean? But no, you know, he really stepped up and he's probably been the best and most consistent player all season, I think. Other players have maybe had more, you know, individual brilliance. I think there was like a 3-week period where, Oishi was like, you know, the fastest guy in J2 or something. Like he was just everywhere. But yeah, I would say he was probably our best player. And I'd say overall, I give it an A. You know, I'm very happy with where we are because realistically, I think by the end of the season, we'll probably be somewhere lower around like 14th or so. I think that's a realistic spot for Zweigen. Coaching, I'm going to give them a B. I'm going to give them a B because obviously they've overachieved with the squad. And we're now, you know, 5 years into Yanagashita's reign, which is kind of crazy that he's, you know, somebody's been giving this long. But I think the problem is still the same. We're basically running the same 4-4-2 this year. We kind of switched it up and we're trying this new 4-4-2 diamond. But, you know, I think that does have something to do with Kiyokazu Kuro, the new assistant manager who came on. He was Gunma's basically caretaker manager last year. I believe when we played them, he also plays a 4-4-2. And that was when Zweigen played them, played Gunma last year, it was a 0-0 draw. And I'm sure, they definitely gained each other's respect after that match, and that really helped. And I'm sure their connections also helped by that. They're both former Jubilo Iwata players. And actually, Yanagashita got hired as assistant manager just as Kuro was going out the door, going to Cerezo. So I think they had, you know, a small overlap there, and they both play there in their playing days, so I think they know a little bit of that, about that, you know, Jubilo Iwata culture. But, you know, I think the big difference is that, like, kind of like you said, like, we're actually making adjustments at halftime now, which, you know, probably 2 years ago would have been blasphemy. But, yeah, you know, I think we made changes, I think, during the Ryuku match, like, where we were just like, all right, well, if they're really going to turn up on us like that in the last 15 minutes, then we have to, like, not press as hot. Right. And that was like a change. You know, ultimately it led to a draw, and, you know, it wasn't the result we wanted. But at least seeing that we were reacting to something that the opponent was doing was, I think, a huge step up. So for our forwards, I'm going to give them a C plus.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Hayashi's been a big bright spot lately. I think Sugiura could probably be doing better. Obviously, we're counting on Shina Niwa kind of being the guy, but, you know, he was hurt, and he's still coming back and kind of working his way into form, so I have hope that, you know, maybe he'll find a way. But obviously, I think that, at least the funnest goal scorer of this season has been Toyota.
I mean,
there's the Toyocopters everywhere. Even when he gets an assist, all the teammates start doing it too. That's my favorite part. If he assists you, you are allowed to do a Toyocopter. That's amazing. But I think one of the things that really separates us from the big boys is that we don't have an elite level striker. We don't have, you know, insert X, you know, Brazilian's name here to kind of like give that big presence, right? There are actually no foreigners on this team, right? This is a all Japanese squad. So I think that's like a problem, right? You know, we like if we had like kind of like Nagasaki has Cristiano or something like that on our team, I think we would be in playoff contention, like automatically. I really believe that because we have really good fullbacks. We have extreme depth at the midfield. I mean, extreme depth at the midfield. That's probably our deepest position.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we just don't have an elite level striker. So yeah, they're getting a C plus from me there, unfortunately. For the midfield, I will give them a solid B. I have my Keita Fujimura shirt on right now, even though we kind of blatantly destroyed him for about a minute or two a while back. What he brings to the team offensively cannot be understated. I mean, he's our corner guy. He's really good at taking corners. We've kind of produced less corners as of late and a lot of good opportunities of corners. I'm not sure why. I think in this like past like month or so. But still, he's a really important part of our set piece play. And he's just like a really terrific passer. And he's very, very skilled. Like the thing I say about Fujimura is like, if he was actually athletic, if he was an athlete, like a true athlete, not just a tall guy, like he could be... He would be a J1 player because he has a J1 level skills, right? And I think the reason why it just didn't end up working for him at Sendai was like kind of what we're seeing right now. He just gets blown by guys sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just part of it. But we've had guys like Oishi, who has been, I mean, just like a godsend from the right wing. He's so fast. I mean, he's not as fast as Thiago, but he's fast, you know? So he really works well within our system of, like, long counterattacks because he can just, you know, he usually comes in as, like, our super sub, right? And he's just like, all right, I'm ready to run. And that's what he does. He just runs for 45 minutes, right, with, like, nonstop. He's not the best dribbler, but he has a really good first touch, and he's very selfless, right? Like, he'll make the extra pass. That's one thing that I really, really like about him. Shimada's really good just because he's really versatile. Like, I expected more from him this season. I don't know. It's kind of like our, you know, the big boy signing of the team.
Yeah.
I would have expected maybe a little more from him, but I'm really, like, I'm not disappointed. I mean, I guess I am disappointed, but I can't be angry about it because he has been playing well. It's just I thought he was going to be the guy. right? I thought him and Shion Niwa were going to lead us to possible, you know, higher mid-table success. And that just has not panned out this season. And that's okay, you know? That's football, right? Matsu's been... Oh, yeah, sorry.
So I was going with Shimada. I agree. I was expecting more tangible output, you know, goals and assists and stuff. Like he had a good start last year, but fell off after a couple of months. Mm-hmm. This year, he only got his first goal a couple of weeks ago, and then he scored another in the following game. So maybe he's coming into form now, which would be great to give us a boost for the second half of the season. But yeah, go on. So what were you going to say about Hiramatsu?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so for Sho Hiramatsu, I think he's been solid. I think he's performed better than I expected, at least. So he's been good. I think Onohara's kind of been our plug-in guy. Like, does somebody need a rest? Is somebody out? Like, he's the guy you plug in, right? He's one of the automatic guys that comes off the bench for us whenever we need him. He's a really solid, I wouldn't say he's a J2 level starter, but I think he plays a really important role for us. So I think I've been pleasantly surprised from him. So yeah, B overall for our midfielders, I'd say.
Mm.
For our center backs, okay, this is, they're bad. Let's just get this out of the way. They're not that great. I think Honoya Shoji is good. That's a lot. Honoya Shoji is good, and I think he's a good defender, right? He came from Cerezo. He's super solid. I really like him. But I have some problems with Daisuke Matsumoto. I think what's great about him is that he's a great set-piece threat, right? I think he's headed in 2 goals for us this season. So he's, you know, he's very useful in that regard, but he's a, you know, he's a little, like we said before, he's a little chippy. He's a little impatient, I think is the right way to say it. Right? He's a little impatient. And that's probably not the best quality for like a center back. I think he can get a lot better with experience because I don't think he has a physical problem. I think he's very good in the air. He jumps very high. But his decision-making needs to improve, and, you know, they're just letting him play until he figures it out, and I think that's probably what's best for the team, but it's unfortunate that, you know, he's, you know, loaned in from Tosu, so he's probably going to head back at the end of the year. So, yeah. One other person, I guess I'll mention a second one as well. I think Gaku Inaba is somebody that we saw at the Emperor's Cup match this year, but has not played a single game yet for us in J2. But he played phenomenally that game, right? And I think the fact that he's not getting more time is a huge surprise to me because I think we need somebody like that. Gaku Inaba is like really tall. He's like 6'2 in American units. I don't know. I think it's like 180 something.
187.
Exactly in metric. But yeah, the fact that he's not getting more playing time is kind of a crime to me because I think he can contribute to us effectively right now, and we need this rotation right now. We're getting to a point where Yanagashi doesn't rotate as much as other teams do, we're gonna see wear and tear start to get it too. Like, we're already seeing with Fujimura, right? And we're halfway through the season. It's only gonna get worse, right? So I think we have to be proactive rather than reactive and start getting him a little bit more playtime. And obviously our team captain, Tomonobu Hiroi, he's played, what, I think 6 or 7 games for us this season. He's great. He's a huge leader in the locker room, but he's just too old to play that position, I think, at this level. Right, I think he's in his 30s, and I'm not sure. Yeah, right, like 36, 37, something like that. And he's somebody that I wish, I get that we keep him around for leadership purposes, but we have a huge lack of depth at center back right now. We're basically, what we're doing is we're playing fullbacks at center backs, like every three games or so, right? Like that's, and I know Riku Matsuda could fill in that position fine. I know that's kind of how he started off then and kind of converted. But he's much better at fullback than center back. I think that's, you know, that's my opinion. So yeah, that we have very bad center backs.
I agree. I think Hiroi is, if he's used sparingly, I think it's okay. But yeah, I think his lack of pace has been a problem at times. And I think using if we're not using him or someone else is unavailable, then Matsuda has shifted over and someone else has slotted in at right back. But right. It would be good to see someone like Inaba get a go, because he was pretty good last year when he had some game time. Yeah. So, one thing you mentioned the Emperor's Cup match, and one thing Yanagishita did say after that match was, because it was basically a team of players who've hardly played or not played at all this mm-hmm. year, they got to use that opportunity to stake a claim for places, and because they did well, they'll probably, if they keep doing well and keep training hard, they'll probably get a chance in the league later in the season. So hopefully he sticks to that and does change things up a bit.
Right.
When necessary, not just for the sake of it. Go on. Carry on.
Okay. So, I give our center backs a C-. Okay. Moving on. Fullbacks. I'm going to give them an A. I think I've talked long and hard already about how awesome Yuto Nagamine is. Obviously, he has some flaws, but like even in throw-in plays, he just has such good off-ball movement. Where there was a play, you know, in today's game, it was somewhere around the 30th minute, or maybe 33rd or something. He goes in, he gets a throw-in, he passes it in, and immediately makes a really incisive cut right to the middle, like very reactionary and was right in the perfect place to get the pass back, because they were pressing and close, trying to trap them on the corners, kind of like Ricardo Rodriguez loves to do this at Araujo, where you just kind of use the baseline as kind of like a third man to kind of box them in. But Nagamine was like, nope, he had to fit in just perfectly. So small stuff like that, like, makes him really valuable. He's a very intelligent offensive player, although he likes to risk it for the biscuit, right? That's his mentality, right? But I like it. You know, you gotta take chances to make chances. So I'm with it. And Riku Matsuda is, and I'll stand by this, the best defensive right back in J2. I call him Back Alley Matsuda, because if you're one-on-one with a lane with him, odds are you're gonna get mugged, right? That's just how it goes, right? He's really good at stopping people. He's really, really fast. He's athletic. He's strong. Like, his decision making isn't always there. He's not as good as a passer as he thinks he is. But on defense, he is very, very solid. And he's probably our best defensive player outside of, you know, in my opinion, the best player on our team right now and of the season is Yuto Shirai, which you called very, very early on. I remember listening to that podcast.
But I'll take your word for it and take the credit.
I remember, because that was one of the things where I was looking at this team and I was like, oh, I kind of disagree, you know? But yeah, he's proven to be absolutely great. I mean, I hope he can put in a really, you know, much better performance than he did, you know, this week and upcoming against Yokohama, a game that's super, super huge for us as, you know, we try to crack the 10,000 fan barrier, right? It's our big promotion game of the season. So yeah, we have to be better. This is a good wake-up call for the squad. I got off track. Yeah, Yuto Shirai, amazing. I give him an A. He's really been like absolutely fabulous. But I am disappointed about it. Like, if I had to like round up my list of disappointments with this team very quickly into four brief points, we have a huge lack of tactical flexibility, right? You know, and Yanagashita's, you know, very stuck. If I had 100 yen for every time I saw Yanagashita smile, before a match, probably couldn't afford a bowl of ramen. That's just the type of guy he is. And he doesn't really like changing a lot of things. He's very comfortable with what he does. We have a huge lack of depth at center back. That's number two. I think that's a huge problem. It's not that we have bad options. It's just that we have average options and we don't have the depth to replace it if an injury need arises, right? We have about 101 midfielders, but, you know, about two center backs. So that's a problem. We're lacking an elite level striker. That's number three. I think everybody that we have is average. Like nobody's saying that they're bad players, but nobody's going out and saying they're amazing players either, right? They are J2 level players. You know, this we're not gonna find a lot of offensive firepower in Kanazawa right now, unfortunately. And I think another thing that's kind of holding us back is just the fact that we're not going after bigger or better players than we are right now, because I feel like if we want to make that jump, if that's the aim of the club, we should be getting better players. But I think the board's made it kind of clear that they're happy being a mid-table J2 team for the time being, right? And I know that comes down to funding and like fan size and market or whatever. Like there's a whole bunch of financial mumbo jumbo that I'm not privy to, right? But there are more talented teams than us, probably smaller cities than us, that have invested more, and you know they are doing worse. I mean, relatively, to be fair. But like, if we would give that level of investment that some of those other teams like do, then like when I look at Montelio Yamada, like they just look Montelio, like they're kind of like, I think the model for like a J2 like side, right? Like player development, but try to bring in a few key players when you can for good value, right? And I feel like we're happy picking on the dregs of J2 instead of picking on the dregs of J1, right? And I want that mentality to maybe change, but I understand that that's a club level issue. That's deeper, right, than just like it's a franchise an organizational like vision, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think it's not something that can be changed easily. And I think also, yeah, we're a provincial club. We're way out in the sticks. We've got no local rivals. Don't have many supporters coming to games. We don't have any huge sponsors. We have we have some kind of mid-level sponsors. So, yeah, it's hard. That's why we get a lot of young players on loan, or we get players towards the end of their careers like Toyoda. And we get players who didn't quite make the grade at J1 like Fujimura, and we had Ohashi for a few years. And players from I guess smaller J2 teams or kind of similar size J2 teams. We got Niwa from Ehime. They were a team. So I guess, that's something that is not going to change easily. And we don't know that not going for that higher caliber of player. It might be that they are going for them, but they're just getting turned down because
very true.
Not as attractive a proposition as other teams like, say, I don't know, like Niigata or like Yamagata, who probably have more clout as organizations, maybe.
Right. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. I don't know anything about what happens behind the scenes either, so it's all just guesswork for me. But I don't think that's something that will change
anytime soon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a gradual thing over the course of several years, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, but that's really interesting to get all your thoughts on Kanazawa.
Yeah, thank you. So overall, I give them a B. So you know,
yeah.
Good season. Very happy. You know, kind of excited for the future. We have a few really talented young guys, but yeah, I don't see us as a promotion playoff team this season. That's what I think. I think we'll settle somewhere around 13 to 15 very comfortably. Because I think like a couple of years ago, we kind of went through a winless summer, you know. That was a very dark period as a fan, where it was like 2.5 months of just draws and losses.
Felt long.
So let's hope we avoid that slide and just learn from previous years.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Let's move on. There was one other game that you watched and you wanted to talk about, which was promotion chasing Yokohama FC against Tokyo Verdy. This one finished 1-1. Verdy took the lead in the 54th minute with Tomohiro Taira, a header from a corner where he jumped just in front of the goal kick. But Verdy are Verdy, and they conceded immediately afterwards. And when I say immediately, I mean 10 seconds after the restart. A long ball to the defender was headed on by Saulo Mineiro, and Zane Isaka shot past the keeper. So it finished 1-1. Verdy now have only got one win in the last 12 league games. I only saw the highlights of this one. So can you tell us about this in a bit more detail?
Oh, of course, of course. Yeah, it was honestly a really fun match. Both of these managers are very interesting. They play very cool formations. Yokohama plays a 3-4-2-1. Verdy plays a 4-1-2-3. Important to note that one of my favorite J2 players, Seiya Baba, is not here because he is on U23 international duty. I think he's the best young center back in J2, and it's not even close. Seeing him play is it's really something else, and it's unfortunate that he wasn't here for this game. Because he's really just a really fun player to watch. So I'd say the first 17 minutes, Yokohama was kind of flat. Saulo Mineiro was kind of jogging around. They did this kind of like hot and cold press, where sometimes they press really, really hard, really high, and other times they would just wait. I don't exactly understand what are the conditions that they feel need to be met in order for them to press. Because I tried to figure out, and for all I could tell, it was probably just desire, whether they felt it or not, which is kind of weird. And Verdy play like really, really compact in the back. They close off a lot of passing lanes in the middle. Verdy were playing their kind of exorbitant passing game, where they're passing from the back, they're passing all the time. And Verdy kind of has this thing where, for some reason, all of their players, when they are crossing the halfway line, they immediately try to get the ball to the middle. Always, consistently. It seems to be their prerogative. And I think Yokohama knew that, because they were plugging up the middle really hard as well. It was really a battle for the middle for the first like 20 minutes or so. Junki Koiki was like really, really good. I really liked seeing him for Verdy. This is the second time for Verdy, and he actually played for Yokohama. I think he played like 70 something odd games for Yokohama. So you know, he's very familiar with both of these squads. Emotions are probably very high for him, but he was very good. He missed a shot very early. I have it here in my notes. I didn't write down the time, but it was definitely before the 20th minute. And yeah, he just looked really, really fantastic. He was playing really well. And in the 22nd minute, Katsuya Iwatake went down after a collision that he kind of initiated, honestly. But he had a really, really bad fall. They brought out the stretcher. But he, you know, before they put him on the stretcher, you know, he gave the thumbs up, you know, no concussion, I guess. And yeah, he just kind of went on and went back into the game, and honestly continued to have a really big impact. And yeah, they Saulo Mineiro, yeah, he really started to turn it on for some reason. Somewhere around the 25th minute, or even in the second half, even though like, he just looked in the second half. Somebody must have said to him something at halftime. Because he just started playing so aggressively. He started running for real. It was like his head wasn't in the game in that first half. And then he really started to go everywhere. There's also a strong challenge in the second half by Sven Brodersen that hurt Ryuji Sukimoto. That immediately then preceded the corner kick, which led to to Taira's goal. And, you know, which is good for him because this is actually the team captain, kind of a similar situation that Zweigen have, an old veteran team captain that has played very few league games. I think this is his fourth game. He got his first goal of the season, so I'm sure he's super happy about that. But yeah, he's team captain who, you know, they give it to these veteran guys that even if they don't play, they, you know, they mean something for the locker room and the club, and I guess the hierarchical relationship in Japanese teams. And yeah, I mean that play to start off, you know, right immediately preceding Yokohama's goal was insane. Because like you said, it was like 10 seconds, right? Like blink if you miss it. If you went to go grab something from the fridge for a second, grab a drink, you just missed it. You know what I mean? And yeah, it was a really fantastic pass. They passed it all the way back, bolted it all the way up to the right side. And yeah, Salo just kind of, it kind of slid off his chest a little bit. Yeah, found Zane who beat the defender, and the defender, it looked like he thought he had got it. He kind of went for like a tackle with his leg, and then he kind of realized like, oh, wait a minute, I didn't get the ball. And the goalie, then you see him immediately like, oh, wait a minute, he didn't get the ball. So he was completely dumbfounded when he just volleyed that in. It was a pretty far volley, but like, he was very lucky that the goalkeeper was also just completely unaware. Because it was beautiful the way he just kind of shifted the ball a little bit over to the left and then just kept it moving. It was honestly, yeah, like a thing to see. And another interesting thing about both of these teams is both of these managers are former pupils of Petrovic, who obviously was with with Consadole and Urawa. Both of them at different times. Shuhei Yamada was actually manager for Hokkaido and won them J2 and got them promoted. And then they hired Petrovic, and he actually took the assistant role. You know, very rare for a manager to kind of be like, okay, I'll step down, I'll be the assistant. So he has a wealth of experience, and he already has a J2 title, so he knows what it takes to win. And Yokohama FC, I think, looked like the favorites this season to win it all, right? And they've had a little bit of a slide because their star was like absolutely fantastic. They came ready. But yeah, they've kind of slowed down a little bit. I'm not exactly sure why the results haven't been as great as they probably should be, because they're probably a bottom half of J1 team with the squad that they have right now. They're very, very talented. I really like Verdi's manager, Takafuma Hori. He's had like a super interesting like experience, both as a player and as a coach. But I think what I like most about him is like the way he plays. He kind of, it's almost like that Pep Guardiola where like, I'm going to play beautiful football whether you guys like it or not, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing about Verdi. Like, that's why I always enjoy watching Verdi games, even if I know they're going to get killed, right? Like, I know that there's going to be goals in this match. Somebody's scoring a goal in this match, either Verdi or the opponent, or most likely both, honestly, right? So they're always like a really fun team to watch. They pass a lot. I wouldn't call it a tiki-taka team, but probably a few steps under that, right? They're play from the back. They'll risk it. And that's why Seiya is so good for them. I think, yeah, he really is my favorite center back, I think, to watch in J2. He's so young. He's got the long hair too. It really helps, you know. he's just a fun player to watch. He's kind of a ball hog, He's definitely a ball hawk, but his talent kind of justifies it at this J2 level, right? I expect him to be in J1 in a couple of years. Like, I just don't see a way that Verdi can hold on to him. He really is that good. And yeah, I mean, he didn't play, but I did want to talk about him. But yeah, it was honestly a really fantastic match. Second half, Yokohama looked like a different team. But yeah, you know, it just became a really defensive, slow grind out thing where Verdi were just trying to pass side to side and waste time, you know, something that they do surprisingly well. And yeah, it was a really interesting match. It was one of the free international YouTube matches. So, you know, definitely great for any of the international listeners to go give that a view. It was a really fun match. Commentating isn't in English, but it doesn't matter. You still enjoy it either way. And yeah, it was a really fantastic match.
Excellent. All right. Thanks very much. That'll do for part one, I think. But don't go anywhere, because in a moment you're going to hear me round up the rest of the match day 20 action. Time to take a quick look at the rest of the weekend's games, starting with the Saturday afternoon match between Tokushima Vortis and Albirex Niigata. Tokushima went ahead in the 19th minute after Niigata's Soya Fujiwara fouled Koki Sugimori in the box. Kazunari Ichimi scored the resulting penalty. Niigata drew level just before half-time when Fujiwara shaped a shoot from the edge of the area but crossed instead perfectly onto Kaito Taniguchi's head. That was his first goal in 10 games. Yota Komi had the ball in the net in the 94th minute for what he thought was the winner for Niigata, but it was correctly ruled out for offside and it ended 1-1, Tokushima's 12th draw of the season. That draw was enough to move Niigata up to first on goal difference, thanks in part to Jeff United's 2-0 win over Vegalta Sendai. It was two goals in quick succession early in the second half that did it. First, a cross-field pass found Shunsuke Nishikubo, whose cross from the right was headed up by Thiago de Leonzo, invitingly for Keita Buwanika to nod it in. Then, 2 minutes later, Sendai were dispossessed in midfield, and Leonzo played a long pass to Tomoya Miki, who'd found space on the left, and dinked it over the advancing keeper. Jeff held on for the win, thanks to an excellent display from their goalie Shota Arai, and they're up to seventh now. There were late goals at the Soyu Stadium in Akita as the hosts twice came from behind to draw with Roasso Kumamoto. It was an own goal in the 26th minute by Akita defender Kaito Chida that put Kumamoto ahead. Kumamoto countered after gaining possession in their own area, and a shot parried by Yoshiaki Arai fell to Chida, who appeared to lose control of his legs and side-footed it gently into the goal. Akita equalised in the 77th minute when a long throw was flicked on at the near post and volleyed in by Koki Shimosaka. Kumamoto retook the lead in the 86th minute with a superb free kick from Sou Kawahara, but Akita again drew level in the 4th minute of stoppage time. Jurato Ikeda's long ball into the box was headed just out of the goalie's reach by Koya Handa. It finished 2-2. Kumamoto dropped to 8th but are unbeaten in 6 league games. Akita are in 13th and winless in 5, but again showed their team spirit and work ethic here. Oita Trinita scored 3 first-half goals to ease to a 3-1 home win against Machida Zelvia. Oita's Naoki Nomura and Kazuki Fujimoto combined well on the left, and the latter crossed for Samuel to head in the first in the 11th minute. A second came in the 24th minute. This time, Nomura's cross was deflected for Arata Watanabe to score. It was almost 3-0 in the 43rd minute after Machida's goalie William Pope gave the ball away, but Nomura's shot from 35 yards rebounded off the post and into Pope's arms. It was a short-lived reprieve, though, less than a minute, in fact, as Nomura crossed from the right for Samuel to head in his second and Oita's third. Machida got one back in the 68th minute when Hijiri Onaga's long throw was headed out to Masayuki Okuyama on the edge of the area, and Oita keeper Shun Takagi had no chance of stopping Okuyama's powerful shot. It wasn't enough, though, and after 3 headed goals, Ranko Popovic will know what to focus on in training this week. Renofa Yamaguchi ended their 3-game losing streak while extending Vespa Kasatsu Gunma's to 4 games with a 2-1 win on Sunday afternoon. They had to come from behind to do it, though,
as junior Kato gave Gunma the lead after 64 minutes. Yamaguchi lost the ball, trying to play out from the back. Kato rounded the keeper but went too far, doubled back, and shot through a crowd from 6 yards. Yamaguchi equalised straight from the restart when Hiroto Hatao tripped Takuya Numata in the area. Georgie Ikigami scored from the penalty spot. Then Numata got the winner in the 97th minute, receiving a long pass on the edge of the Gunma area, nutmegging a defender and curling a shot past Masatoshi Kushibiki. Let's move to the bottom of the table now, and a fantastic stoppage time goal from Cristiano meant that Viva and Nagasaki won 3-2 away to 19th placed Tochigi SC. Tochigi actually took the lead in this one, Carlos Gutierrez with a header from a corner in the 32nd minute. Nagasaki equalised in the 48th minute after Shunya Yoneda passed for Takashi Sawada to score. And then the visitors took the lead in the 70th minute after some neat passing and a dummy for Asahi Uenaka. Didn't last long though, because Carlos Gutierrez scored another header from another corner 5 minutes later. However, in the first minute of stoppage time, Cristiano took possession deep in his own half, dribbled all the way up to the edge of the area and put in one of those very powerful shots that he does so well to take all 3 points for Nagasaki. That was Cristiano's first goal since match day 7. Now, by my count, Tochigi now, that's 5 games where they've dropped points to a late goal. And 20th placed Omiya Ardija missed a chance to move away from the relegation zone, losing 2-0 at home to 16th placed Mito Hollyhock. Goals either side of half-time from Ryo Nizato and Takumi Kusamoto saw the visitors move up into the mid-table pack. Nizato took control on the edge of the Omiya box after an Omiya player failed to clear a high ball effectively, and he shot into the bottom left corner. Then a corner was flicked on for Kusamoto to volley at the back post. Omiya hit the post twice in this game, and Mito keeper Louis Yamaguchi made 3 very good saves to earn his clean sheet. 21st placed FC Ryukyu made the long and fruitless trip north to take on Monterio Yamagata. Taiki Kato opened the scoring in somewhat fortunate fashion as his shot was deflected high and looped over Junto Taguchi in the 11th minute. Yamagata pulled clear in the final 20 minutes or so. First, Thiago Alves got away from his marker to head in Shuto Kawai's cross on 69 minutes. 10 minutes later, Hiroki Noda also headed in a cross from the right, and then Kunitomo Suzuki rounded off the scoring with a shot from the edge of the area after a counter-attack that started from a Ryukyu corner. Ryukyu are rock bottom now, winless in 5 league games, and have conceded 11 goals in their last 3 games in League and Cup. They're rock bottom because Iwate Gruja Morioka beat Vanfore Kofu 1-0 on Sunday evening, thanks to a 24th-minute goal from Keita Ishii. Slight controversy about this one, perhaps, as an Iwate player slid and won the ball on the edge of his own area. It hit the referee and fell for an Iwate player, and they broke up field, had several shots saved and blocked before Ishii forced it home. I saw some tweets from retired referee Masaki Iemoto explaining that play on was the correct decision here, as Iwate would have been on the attack had the ball not hit the referee anyway. That goal was backed up by a strong defensive effort and some excellent saves by Kenta Matsuyama. So Kofu are not doing much in 12th without a win in 6 league games. Iwate move up 1 place to 21st, have a 2-point gap to Ryukyu, and are only a point behind Omiya with a game in hand. Perhaps all is not lost for Yutaka Akita's hard-working squad. That's all the round 20 games taken care of. I'll be back in a moment to talk to Victor about the upcoming matches.
Welcome back, everyone. Victor's back. He's going to help me look at the match day 21 fixtures coming up. And they're quite nicely split over 2 days. There are 5 games on Saturday the 11th. 3 of them at 6 o'clock. There's Kofu against Jeff United, Kanazawa against Yokohama FC, and Tokushima against Sendai. Then at 6.30, Ryukyu play Nagasaki. And at 7 o'clock, Oita take on Niigata. Victor, any games there look interesting to you?
Oh, yeah, there are two really big games that are obvious. I'm a huge Kanazawa supporter, so obviously I have to watch the Yokohama match. I don't expect it to go necessarily very well for us, but I do expect a lot of fans there since it is a big promotion night. The social media has been very, very active on trying to get people to come to this game. So I expect a more than usual packed house, and hopefully that gives the boys a little bit of energy to maybe hold on for a draw. And I have to admit, the Ryukyu Nagasaki match looks super interesting. Ryukyu's it's unfortunate because they're a team that's probably better than what their record indicates they are. I know there are some loud voices who want a certain manager that I shall not name to leave the club. But yeah, I think, you know, they're really good. They're a fun team. I think the way they play is very interesting. I think their defense is not very good. But yeah, Nagasaki just has so much offensive talent. I think Cristiano is arguably one of the best players in J2 right now. He is such a terrific player. I mean, set pieces, like on corners, just like taking shots. He's going to really do a little bit of everything. So yeah, those two matches are for sure the ones I'm going to be watching.
Yeah, I think, Cristiano showed the other day that he's still got it with that fantastic winner against Tochigi. So yeah, to see if Nagasaki's offense can inflict a lot, because they could inflict quite a lot of pain on Ryukyu, I think. When you say Ryukyu are fun to watch, I don't think it's fun for Ryukyu supporters.
Sorry, Okinawa Aussie, I know you.
Okay, and let's talk about Sunday then. On Sunday, there are six matches. At 1 o'clock, Yamaguchi play Okayama. Then at 2 o'clock, Akita play Omiya, Mito play Yamagata, and Machida play Kumamoto. And then at 6 o'clock, Gunma take on Tochigi, and Tokyo Verdy play Iwate. What about the Sunday matches then, Victor? Anything good there?
Oh, yeah, I think there are another two matches that pop up to me. I think Machida Zelvia and Kumamoto, I think that's going to be a really, really fun match. I haven't watched a lot of Kumamoto outside of, you know, Zweigen, you know, them playing Zweigen. So there's a team I look forward to seeing. They don't get a lot of love, but, you know, they've been doing probably better than a lot of people expected. And, you know, Machida Zelvia is always a team that I like watching. They're kind of the third awkward little brother of Tokyo. And yeah, I think they have some quality players, and they're always fun to watch. They have a really cool stadium. I went to go see them play once. And I had a really good time at that stadium. Very small, very intimate, kind of in the outskirts of Tokyo, but yeah, a fantastic environment. So yeah, that's a match I'll be watching for sure. And Mito versus Yamagata, I think I talked about Monterio. I think they're a fantastic club. I think the way they run things is really, really impressive for their stature. They're kind of the, how do I say it? They're like the Sagan Tosu of J2. Small budget always seems to do way better than people expect. So they're always really, really fun to watch. And Mito, I just haven't seen a lot of Mito. And I have to say, Mito also has probably one of the coolest badges in all of the J-League. So always like to seeing them whenever I get a chance. So yeah, those are the matches I'll be watching for sure.
Yeah, there's one more that stands out for me. Well, it didn't actually stand out at first. It's kind of low-key. But that's Gunma against Tochigi. That's 18th against 19th. Tochigi are only a point behind Gunma now. Gunma have lost four in a row. So I think if Tochigi were to win this, I think that would be pretty huge psychologically
for both.
But yeah, I think I agree. The games that you picked out look pretty good. And it helps that they're spread out. So it means that people can binge on J2 over the weekend. Oh, yeah. All right. I think that'll do from us. Thanks, Victor, for coming on the pod. It's been great to get all your thoughts on Kanazawa and the rest of J2 as well. I hope we can have you back on again later in the season.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I just want to say one quick thing before I'm off here. I just want to give thanks to three people, you know, which is the reason why I'm here. Number one, the man himself, James Taylor, for, you know, giving me this opportunity, and he actually vouched for me for me to be on here. So I'm very grateful for that. John Steele, of course, he, you know, I kind of messaged him out the blue and I sent him a little demo and, you know, he gave me the thumbs up. So that was really good. And Johnny Nickel, I actually reached out to him because I wanted to kind of learn a little bit more about the J-League, and he was super, super helpful. And he gave me some really good advice and sources and really helped prepare me for to come on this pod. So yeah, thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it.
All right. Brilliant. Okay. Yeah, so thanks to those guys, and thanks to you, Victor. Thanks to everyone who listens and downloads and streams and likes and retweets and shares. And big thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We really appreciate the money that you give us to make these episodes. So that's all from us on the J2 side of things, but don't go anywhere because here comes Magic Mike Guinness with all the J3 action in J Talk Short Corner. J Talk
Extra Time. Hello everyone, and welcome to J Talk Short Corner, the mini pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode, I'll be looking back on all the J3-related games played since last midweek, as well as previewing the round 12 games coming up at the weekend. First, a single item of J3 news since the last pod. SC Sagamihara's new coach, Norihiro Satsukawa, has gone back into the loan market to sign Shimizu S-Pulse forward Takumi Kato and Shonan Bellmare defender Kordai Minoda until the end of the season. By my calculation, the players, who are both 22, are the 7th and 8th loan members of the Sagamihara squad. On to the action now, and on Wednesday the 1st of June, 5 J3 teams took part in the Emperor's Cup second round. The evening ended with all the third tier representatives departing the competition, although FC Gifu did take Gamba Osaka to extra time at the Panasonic Stadium Suita. In fact, Yuji Yokoyama's team were 2-0 up inside 14 minutes, as first, Yuta Togashi took advantage of a blunder by ex-Ehime keeper Taichi Kato to poke it over the line, and then Toma Murata converted a Junya Tanaka cross to finish off a superb team move. Gamba's fight back began in the 21st minute through Wellington Silva, and early in the second half, Kohei Okuno tied things up with a header from a poorly defended corner. It was still 2-2 at 90 minutes, but with the extra half hour, the home side netted further goals from Patrick after a weak back pass by Togashi and from Hiroki Fujiharu on a counter-attack. Final score, Gamba 4, Gifu 2 after extra time. At Vissel Kobe, there was heartbreak for Katare Toyama, who inside the first half hour also took a 2-0 lead thanks first to Naoto Ando, a stunning half volley from a cross by Musashi Oyama, and then Shunta Takahashi set up by Hiroyasu Eki, who'd caught Shion Inoue in possession. With keeper Genki Yamada in great form, this was an advantage Katare maintained until the last 20 minutes when Yuya Osako pulled one back. Daiju Sasaki levelled things up in the 89th minute, and with the game in stoppage time, Osako's header claimed the winner for Vissel. Final score, Kobe 3, Toyama 2. Meanwhile, Matsumoto Yamaga coach Hiroshi Nanami took his side back to the club where he made his name, Jubilo Iwata. And things started well for Nanami, Matsumoto going into a 4th-minute lead when Paolo Junichi Tanaka received a through pass from Ryuhei Yamamoto and clipped it past Alexei Kosalev to continue his Emperor's Cup goal-scoring run. But Iwata were ahead inside 10 minutes, first through Naoya Seita's far post finish and then Atsushi Kurokawa's smash into the roof of the net. Two more Jubilo goals at the start of the second half from ex-Sagamihana midfielder Naoki Kanuma and a header by Mahiro Yoshinaga ended the game as a contest. The Matsumoto defence not able to keep pace with J1 pass and move. Rookie Yosuke Furukawa made it 5 with a low cross deflected in at the near post by Yuya Hashiuchi. Then Komatsu pulled one back for Yamagat with 8 minutes left. A header into an open net after Kaiga Munakoshi's lob hit the bar, and that was the last of the goals. Final score, Iwata 5, Matsumoto 2. There were narrow losses for both Kagoshima United and Fukushima United. At Vivada Nagasaki, J3 leaders Kagoshima conceded a 31st-minute goal by ex-YSCC forward Koya Okuda, and the decisive moment of Fukushima's game at Urawa Reds was Takahiro Akimoto's goal, a beautifully struck 20-yard screamer early in the second half. Final scores, Nagasaki 1, Kagoshima 0, and Urawa 1, Fukushima 0. And with these results, J3 interest in the Emperor's Cup is concluded for the year. J-Talk Extra Time. Then, over the weekend of the 4th and the 5th of June, we moved on to round 11 of the J3 season. Just the two games on Saturday the 4th, both involving teams who have recently changed their coaches with, to coin a phrase, mixed results. Having scraped a win at Giramantz Kitakyushu in his first match in charge, new YSCC Yokohama coach Kei Hoshikawa will have a clearer picture of the task that faces him after his side were thumped at home by Iwaki FC. YSCC fell behind just before half-time, keeper Ryo Ishii letting Eiji Miyamoto's corner kick fall from his grasp for Hiroto Iwabuchi to overcome his surprise and score. The opening 14 minutes of the second period were a nightmare for Hoshikawa as YSCC conceded 4 more times. Iwabuchi scored again with a 15-yard shot after he and Sota Nagai had exchanged a neat 1-2. Moments later, Shota Suzuki beat Minoru Hanafusa to head in Masaru Hidaka's cross for 3-0. Niku Saga made it 4 from the penalty spot after his own cross had been handled by Hiroto Miyauchi. And then Hanafusa's day went from bad to worse when he was caught in possession by Iwabuchi, who set up Kotaro Anima to make it 5. Suzuki then had a goal ruled out for offside as Iwaki continued to press forward, and with 18 minutes left, Iwabuchi completed his hat-trick, prodding the ball in after Hidaka had put Kento Dodate under pressure and rolled the ball across the face of goal. In injury time, Yutaro Yanagi was denied a consolation goal by a mixture of Shuhei Shikano's save and an almighty goalmouth scramble. Final score, YSCC 0, Iwaki 6. The sense remaining that Hoshikawa has taken over a team that, in its current form, is a division or two out of its depth. Iwaki, superior in every respect, and now up to second in the table. The other club that's just changed coach is SC Sagamihana, Norihiro Satsukawa leading his new charges at home to Giravance Kitakyushu. And Satsukawa's team went ahead. In only the 3rd minute, Jungo Fujimoto floating in a free kick from the left, debutant Takumi Kato getting there before Yuki Nakayama to flick it on, and veteran Jiro Kamata touching it in at the far post. Throughout the game, Sagamihana met with success using their left-sided set pieces, and in the 19th minute had a goal from a Takayuki Funayama corner chalked off for a narrow offside. Kato again getting his head to it at the near post. Tsubasa Ando's far post conversion ruled out. It was Funayama, though, who made it 2-0 8 minutes before the break, rifling home the loose ball after Ryoma Ishida's shot had been blocked by Takuya Nagata. A first goal in a Sagamihara shirt for Funayama. Giravance pulled one back early in the second half, a soft penalty after Sagami Hana's Shogon Nakahana had been unable to deal with a high ball into the box, leaving Kamata to bring down Nakayama, who scored from the spot. The home side restored their two-goal advantage from yet another set play from the left. Fujimoto's free kick met this time by teenage defender Yudai Fujiwara, whose header arced over Kenshin Yoshimaru and in. A first ever pro goal for Fujiwara, and also midway through the second half for Kita Kyushu sub Zen Cardona, scoring from 10 yards after Nakayama had got among the Sagami Hana defenders. Looking for an equaliser, Gilavance then produced a couple of the near misses their performances in recent weeks have become known for. Cardona and Yuya Takazawa both going close, but not close enough. Final score, Sagami Hana 3, Kitakyushu 2. Training ground practice earning the points for Satsukawa's team. Gilavance now in the bottom four without a win in 2 months. After 11 goals in two matches on Saturday, things were quieter on Sunday the 5th, with one exception, of which more later. I'll begin with leaders Kagoshima United, who picked up three more points with a home win in the rain against Azul Claro Numazu. The decisive moment came in the 17th minute, Rei Yonezawa playing a long ball forward for Koki Arita, who shouldered Terukazu Shinozaki out of possession and lashed an unstoppable shot past Hiromu Musha from 20 yards. 7 for the season now for Arita. Numazu had their half chances, most notably Kosei Uryu's low shot, which had Fuma Shirasaki diving to tip it round the post, but it ended Kagoshima 1, Numazu 0. Not a great performance from the home side, but they did enough to win the game. Azul Claro gave it their best shot, but weren't able to commit men forward to cause real problems. In contrast with Kagoshima, promotion rivals Matsumoto Yamaga dropped points via a draw at lowly Gainare Tottori. 10 minutes into the second half, Len Komatsu had a perfect chance to put Matsumoto in front, but after a pacey run and unselfish setup by Yusuke Kikui, unmarked and 12 yards out, Komatsu could only side-foot it against the bar. In the late stages, Tottori twice came close to springing a major shock, first when Ryuji Sawakami's cross forced Taiki Miyabe into a dangerous interception that keeper Victor had to push round the post. Then when Sota Maruyama's hopeful punt into the box bounced kindly for Takeru Kiyonaga, whose half volley brought another stop out of Victor. And Gainare even had a shout for a penalty in injury time, Daichi Ishikawa drawing an ill-advised attempt to play the ball from Yamaga captain Takayuki Mae. But the game ended Tottori 0, Matsumoto 0. A welcome first clean sheet in 7 for Gainare. As for Yamaga, are they consistent enough to find a place in the top 2 and stay there? Segway fans will observe this brings us neatly to early season leaders Fukushima United, who suffered a sensational loss at home to Fujieda My FC. Having conceded 3 goals in the first 10 games, Fukushima were 3 down at half-time to an irresistible Fujieda, who took the lead in the 19th minute when Keigo Enomoto and Masahiko Sugita combined to open up the Fukushima defence, Sugita laying it back for Akiyuki Yokoyama to blast home from 8 yards. Rookie Enomoto was also instrumental in the second, just before the half hour, a jinking run taking him past 4 players and to the byline, from where he centred for Nobuyuki Kemashima, who finished from close range. Soon afterwards, Tomoyuki Doi hit the post with a free kick that homekeeper Kaito Yamamoto could only watch, and MyFC duly made it 3-0 a couple of minutes before the break. Quick passing from Sugita and Taisuke Mizuno, freeing up Tojiro Kubo, who sent a low angled shot past Yamamoto and inside the post. Fukushima didn't know what had hit them, and despite a double substitution at half-time, they were four down seconds after the restart. Fujieda's relentless high press led to Yokoyama feeding Sugita, who curled a snapshot beyond the reach of Yamamoto. A 57th minute free kick underlined the extent to which Fukushima were off their game, no one tracking Takashi Akiyama, who headed home Jun Suzuki's set play with ease. Not that my FC slacked off, even when they were 5-0 up. A goal-bound Enomoto shot drew a save from Yamamoto, and just before the end, they scored again, Tsugatoshi Oishi cutting it back for Ryota Iwabuchi, whose scuffed shot bounced in at the far post. Final score, Fukushima 0, Fujieda 6. Fukushima tumble out of the top four, and you have to wonder if coach Toshihiro Hattori regrets fielding a full-strength side in the Emperor's Cup. My FC move up to fourth with one of the best performances seen in J3 all season. Elsewhere, FC Imabari hosted Ehime FC in a brand new J-League derby in northwestern Shikoku. 3,948 people there to see it, despite the wet weather. Ehime came into the fixture as the form side and almost took an early lead, Motoki Ohara's drop ball into the area being met with a Riki Matsuda volley that hit the bar. But at the end of a close-fought first half, Imabari took the lead as Takuro Uehara sent a free kick into the box. New teenage loanee Kanta Chiba pushed it back across the face of the goal, and following a scramble, big centre-back Tomoya Ando fired in from close range. The home side made the points safe 13 minutes from time, Takatora Kondo getting past Kyoji Kutsuna, cutting inside and striking a shot that deflected off Daisei Suzuki and in. Final score, Imabari 2, Ehime 0. A famous victory for the new kids on the Shikoku block. Ehime outbattled for a first defeat in 8. The other Shikokuites, Kamatamari Sanuki, fell to a narrow loss at Katare Toyama, for whom Arthur Silva is rapidly becoming indispensable in an attacking midfield role. On the hour, it was the Brazilian who, 20 yards inside his own half, stole possession from Taiyo Namazita and surged into the opposition half to feed Shota Kawanishi, who, with the visiting defence opening up in front of him, switched play into the middle for Tsubasa Yoshihira to roll it in. Katale haven't been the strongest at the back this year, and Kamatamare almost equalised with 8 minutes left. A stumble by Naoto Ando, allowing Ikki Kawasaki to cross, the ball eventually falling to Kakeru Aoto, whose rising shot was tipped onto the woodwork by Genki Yamada. Final score, Toyama 1, Senuki 0. 3 wins in a row now for Katare, although hardly a dominant display. Kamatamare ominously have failed to score in any of the last 4 outings. Draw specialists Tegevajalo Miyazaki looked as if they were heading for another share of the spoils at home to AC Nagano Parseiro, but in the 92nd minute, Kenta Okuma swung in a corner and Keigo Hashimoto got in front of Nagano defender Hayato Ikegaya to hurl himself at the ball and deflect it past Issei Oichi. Final score, Miyazaki 1, Nagano 0. Hashimoto's determination notwithstanding, Tegevajaro aren't prolific in front of goal but will give anyone a game. Parseiro are stuttering, in danger of drifting through another season in mid-table. Could the same be true of FC Gifu? At Nagaragawa, Yuji Yokoyama's team failed to break down struggling Vanarare Hachinohe, giving the visitors a first away point of the season. Gifu substitute Ryo Kubota was the man who came closest to breaking the deadlock, first in the 82nd minute when he raced past Daichi Kobayashi before crashing a shot against the bar, Then 3 minutes later, when he sent in a deep cross that Toma Murata met at the far post to bring out a fine save from Kazugi Hattori. Final score, Gifu 0, Hachinohe 0. A deeply disappointing result for Gifu as they look to pick up points before a tough run of fixtures over the next few weeks. Vanrare coach Masahiro Kuzuno was absent from the game due to ill health. His assistant Junichiro Azuma fielding a much changed side that fought hard without truly threatening the home defence. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after round 11, noting that Hachinohe and Sagamihara still have one game in hand. The top four teams are Kagoshima with 26 points, then it's Iwaki with 24, Matsumoto 22, and now Fujieda 20. At the other end of the table, the bottom four are Kitakyushu slipping to 15th with 9 points, then it's Hachinohe with 7, Tottori 5, and at the bottom, also with 5, YSCC. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the fixtures in what promises to be a very exciting round 12 with one game on Saturday the 11th of June. That's a mouth-watering third against fourth, Matsumoto against Fujieda. Then on Sunday the 12th, front-running Kagoshima make the trip to Gifu. If the leaders slip up, Iwaki have the chance to pick up points at Sanuki. Can Fukushima bounce back from their heavy loss? They go to struggling Kitakyushu. Two teams on the fringe of the promotion race meet at Miyazaki, where the visitors are Toyama. After both sides pulled off important wins in round 11, Imabari host Sagamihara. Can Nagano end their winless run at home to Ehime? And a couple of big matches in the lower reaches of the table. Third bottom play, second bottom, it's Hachinohe against Tottori, while Wooden Spooners YSCC go to Numazu. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.